Ani Bojo, I'm Ansley Simpson, and you're listening to The Borderline.
Hi, this is Kingi from Peach for Zurich in Toronto. And when I want to listen to cool stuff for musicians, I listen to Sim Seller at 6 o'clock on Thursdays on The Borderline.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you're listening from. This is Seb Seller, and you're listening to The Borderline. I'm Seb Micron, and yep, you're not. I am so incredibly happy today to have a punk rock legend, a very, very true to his source man, Mr. Stephen Leckie, on Seb Seller today. Been trying for a while to get Steve on. And he's finally returned my call, and we're going to do her today right here on Seb Seller, the history of punk rock in Canada. Stephen paving the way for the rest of us to head down to CBGB's and all around North America, spreading his word. Mr. Stephen Leckie on Seb Seller, my number 38 of my FU COVID series here at Seb Seller. First, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in each and every week and making Seb such an enjoyable show to do. I'd like to thank you, yes, you, because without you, none of this is possible. So without any further ado, let's check out Mr. Stephen Leckie and the Vile Tones. You're going to hear Danger Boy on Seb Seller on The Borderline.
Take long. Red, red, white, style.
Danger Boy, The Vile Tones, Mr. Stephen Lecky, my guest here this week on Sev Cellar, my number 38 of my FU COVID series. Let's give Steve a call down there in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hello.
All right, sir. Mr. Stephen Lecky, how are you doing, sir, down there in Toronto?
Great. It's great talking with you, Mike.
Thank you, sir, for returning my call, and I've been wanting to get you on
long. No worries. It's okay. It's real good. Listen, you wanted me to send you some Vile Tone songs, and later we can talk about them.
I got them all. I downloaded all the ones you sent me already, or the titles.
Yeah. I had there's an order, and it needs to be that way because it's helpful.
I have the order written down here, sir. I have
great.
Them all.
It's helpful to think of me when I was a kid, when I was 18. You know, with that the very beginning, as kind of like an actor. You know, the way that Iggy saw himself as an actor. You know, it wasn't Jim Ostenberg, it was Iggy, right? So the first songs, like Danger Boy, Rebel, and Screaming Fist, now they're specific to 1977. You know, that's the first band with, the lineup that was in the Vile Tones then. Those three songs. And the next three songs, Out of My Mind, Last Guy in Town, Keep Running, that's also Vile Tones, but with a completely different lineup. It, by necessity, it needed to be that way. It was essentially, you know, Sam and Tony were in the Ugly, and then, you know, came with us, and Tony was going on and on about how great this kid looked, and it ended up being Steve Koch. And, you know, we thought he's too good looking. He can't possibly play as good as we found out he could because he's too good looking. Well, he was both. And there's the third section, and the third section is me, but with the best players I could get, with different people. This would be the time when I flew in guys from Manchester to do a couple of shows at the Opera House because I wanted it to sound like a band from Manchester. So I gave up. Why would I? It wasn't fair to ask guitar players here to change their sound to what I wanted. It was easier, believe it or not, to send the flight, the money for the flight, and pay every guy $500, right? So that's where the songs like Sam, Nailed, and Kick Out the Jams come in, right? So it's three separate versions. That first 77 version is absolute, like really raw punk, really tough and really scary. And like Danger Boy, a song like Danger Boy is all about, it introduces Danger Boy, who is the Lord of Fun. It's in the lyrics. Call me Danger Boy, I'm the Lord of Fun. That's what it is. And Rebel, the song Rebel, that song is, he's telling the audience who he is.
1, 2, 3, 4! I'm the bomb on Fussy Lee. His team made a martyr of me. Fly off me into all mankind. And my body dirty, not my mind, no. I'm a rebel. I'm also. You're a rebel, I'm all to die. Got the guts, commit suicide. No one kill me, just pass me by. I'm young now, but I'm still so old. Don't leave no one, don't got no home, no. I'm a rebel. We'll be right back.
I'm a rebel.
He's established that he's the Lord of Fun, but he's a danger boy.
Like, so it's like a trilogy going on here.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, we have to put thought into it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Screaming Fist, well, that was to show this new sound and just what we could do, you know? The whole idea of a bass being played only in downstrokes. That's how you play Screaming Fist. That's the reason it sounds the way it sounds. There's no up and down on that. You play nothing but downstrokes, and that will give it that you know, that motor sort of engine, you know. And that song was there just to let the audience know, hey, you know, sort of like top this, you know. Life was way different in 77 in that, for us especially, that, you know, the first lineup, there was no competition. There was no one doing what we were doing at all. No one. The very closest would have to be the Ugly. However, then I got the rhythm section, so it's tricky, you know? But both of us continued, me with, you know, Sam and Tony, and Mike Nightmare with his guys. He was always great. He always got great bands, great players around him. And then again, that third part after, Sam, Steve Koch, and Tony, it was me with the best musicians I could get. And I don't want to repeat myself, but I will. Flying two guys from Manchester, and so a song like Sam, that's looking back. All those lyrics are there. It's pretty clear, I think, even in when you hear it, you know, that I love them. And I'm not, I'm not saying that I love you. Or anyway, it's all there, you know, how much I care about him, etc. And then Nailed, it's kind of like it starts off ballady and then crunch, you know. And that is all really about what happens. You are going to get nailed. You are going, if you're a real player, you have now made some decision to forfeit a normal, quote, life for this pure life of a musician, totally going right in it, okay? And Kick Out the Jams, I didn't really want to put that. I really didn't, because I didn't write it. However, what I do like about it is it's real easy to hear, put them back to back, that we play it much better. However, Wayne Kramer wrote it, so that's got to be the way, you know, whatever he did. You know, and also, Rob Tyner just don't have my pipes. He don't have my lungs. He never did. He's kind of a weak, not quite a weak singer, but he's not, there's not a lot of real coming out of him. There just isn't. The song, most of the songs are real good and they're in folklore and everything, but you know, I'd like to talk, you know, one-on-one with anybody about the MC5. I'm not saying I don't like him. I love him. But Kick Out the Jams is there because we simply play it better. That's all. That's a fact. And everyone who knows music will hear it. You can't not hear it. So anyways, the thing with my life and starting in music is that I did what I did the best that I could. And that first version with Freddie, Chris Haight, Motorex, you know, rest in peace, Freddie and Motor, that was pure punk. And I got to a point where on stage, I was moving away from Freddie. The guy, you know, was decked out in, you know, German World War II paraphernalia. That's something I wouldn't be caught dead in, yet he would wear it. I remember Don Pyle talking about his book, which is fabulous. You know, the Don Pyle book?
Yep, yep.
You know it. Okay, well, look at Freddie and look at me. You know, I got to move from him. He's just wearing all that crap, and it's playing with fire.
It is, yeah.
That band was very, very aggressive. I was really young. I was immersed in my alcoholism. We all were. And two of the members thought that maybe wasn't enough. Let's add something else. I heard Johnny Thunders is doing something I'm pretty interested in. You dig? Okay, so we would work hard in our shows in the States. They got it. You know, that audience got it.
Shake me hard. Just shake me hard.
didn't have to quite, you know, say, oh, well, that song introduces the Lord of Fun. That's just being sort of sinister, you know, a Lord of Fun called Danger Boy. And then the Rebel, you know, and then Screaming Fist. And Screaming Fist, that was the thing, right? That you're sort of stuck with your first work in art, you know? And you want to do a ton after that to prove you can do what you think is better. But the way that it has unfolded, Screaming Fist is a song that a lot of people like. I mean, really like. And I'm proud that it's got over 250,000 clicks and views.
Wow. That's fabulous.
On YouTube. So over 250,000. Yes.
I got some rapid fire for you, Lecky. What do you think?
Sure.
Favorite food?
Favorite food? Mm-hmm. Oh, favorite. Oh, God. It's got to be.
You get one.
It's got to be Indian.
Okay. You're the third person on Sevs with Indian. You got somewhere around the hood there you're going to? You want to give a shout out?
I'm at, Queen and Drake.
Oh, are you? You're so, Parkdale.
Yeah.
Uber Ellis.
Yeah. So I'm at Queen and Drake. So right there's on. There's not an Indian place, but there's, you know, spots around. But lately, I have not been eating any Indian food. A good Italian pizza is perfect.
Oh, no, you're hitting some sore spot up. Sault Ste. Marie has the best pizza, okay?
Well, you know, when I see you up there, you show me where it is.
I'm going to come pick you up, or you're going to...
Yeah.
Well, the pizza
how many miles is it? How far is it from Toronto?
Well, it's an eight-hour drive, or it's a 45-minute plane ride, right?
God damn it. Hey, listen, I'm glad I remembered this. I was going to write it down. I have a Sault Ste. Marie story.
Really?
Yeah.
Please, would you share your Sault Ste. Marie story with us?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, dig this.
Okay.
When I was 14, me and my 14-year-old buddy up the road, he's on Facebook. His name is Brent Lackey.
Brent Lackey.
Very similar to Lecky.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brent.
Brent Lackey. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Anyway. We hopped a freight train, okay?
Oh.
And at Davenport and DuPont.
Really?
Yes. And after around 5 hours, 6 hours, it was getting nighttime. Now, he asked me, where do you think we're going? I said, we've surely crossed the border, because we had this romantic idea. We want to wind up in Kansas City. You know, we want this train to take us to Kansas City. Anyways, that didn't happen. The train started to slow and then went into a train yard. And I asked, a couple of Native women came up to the train. They saw these two adolescent boys. And I asked, where are we? And the Native woman said, you're in Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, my.
Well, what? Right. They brought me and Brent Lackey, to a little like a bad dive diner, right? And brought us into the bathroom and rubbed off with the towels all the coal and dirt and soot that we had on our faces. We didn't know. Well, I knew that Brent turned color. He was pitch black. Yeah. And I assume I had to have been as well.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, this very kind Native woman, she rubbed it all off of our face and our hands.
There's a Sault Ste. Marie moment here. Live from Stephen Lecky, a Sault Ste. Marie moment.
Well, but I didn't get to enjoy the town because I was upset it was not Kansas City. I thought it was going to cross that border.
Just say Kansas, yeah. Lecky.
me and Brent just stuck out our thumbs and hitchhiked south. And it took us a good full long day. And we got home to me with my dad, divorced dad who raised me, him with his divorced mom who raised him. And we both lived in the annex.
Wow, cool.
Yeah,
oh, my
yeah,
condolences too, Stephen. Sorry for your father as well. I saw the lovely pictures.
Oh my God, I loved my father. He passed away a year ago, April.
That's and right.
I,
yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'm still grieving, and I still find it very difficult to look at photographs of him. If they're on my photo site in FB, I have to sort of scroll by them quickly. He was everything. I loved him so, so much. But the only thing, listen, I if this is any whatever, I do take a certain, listen, he was 84 and he passed away in the middle of the night with his last breath with no pain. So really, isn't that a beautiful way to go?
It is. It is, definitely.
And it was down south. He lived in San Miguel, Mexico, but he died in my brother's basement, which still is. My brother lives in the Dominican Republic.
Okay, very nice.
So dad got to be where he wanted to be, and he passed in the middle of the night. So there you go. There's the end of that story.
No, he looked like a beautiful soul. The picture.
Oh, thank you.
There was a picture where you and him at TIFF, I think it was, and you
yes.
all dappered up, both of you there. Nice shot. What's the best concert you ever played? House lights go down, the stage lights come up, and you look out and you go, fuck yeah, this is it right here.
Where every single thing was just,
yeah,
bam.
This is it, man.
Would have actually been the Hot Club in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Hot Club. When it was the very, you know, when it was that, it was 77.
So you're talking, okay.
And the club's packed. And we did not know that they didn't have punk in the U.S. They had the Ramones.
Yeah.
And the Dead Boys, who were, you know, like a kind of like a hard rock Aerosmith kind of band.
The Dolls.
Yeah, you know. But it was in the Hot Club. It was not very big, and it was crowded. And it was packed. And
that's beautiful.
A couple of bands came down from New York, the Boyfriends.
Oh.
A couple of the members from Blondie came down.
Remember the Boyfriends? They played CBs a lot, the Boyfriends. Too.
Anyway, so yeah, from start to finish, that was one.
Wow.
That was, you know, you're always trying to chase the first one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hear you. What's the best concert you ever attended?
Best concert I ever attended. Well, gee, yeah, that's all very.
You got one, Steve. You got one.
That's all tricky. You know, in so many ways, you know what?
Next
you know
question.
What?
Next
I,
question.
I guess I got to say that very first New York Dolls concert.
Oh, wow. Wow.
1974.
Where was that?
The Victory Burlesque.
Oh.
Yeah,
right,
and the next week the Stooges played.
Oh man, is that Gary?
Yeah,
bringing him in or no?
No. This was before Gary.
Okay.
Was into promoting. I think Gary, he may well have been into the 99-cent Roxy movie theater
right.
at that point,
that's
but
right.
he had yet hadn't gone right into. That's another thing the city has to be very, very grateful for, huh?
He needs to get an award, that man. He needs to get
you know,
a plaque.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
know?
If he wasn't manning the edge, for example, I mean, it was spectacular. You can look at a lineup from any week, and it was like, wow.
Well, you can check out the Seb Seller of I Did Gary Top, too. He's on there, too, so you can check out that one. It's
yeah,
a real
okay.
Fun
oh, okay.
Some of the old music he's playing live from Larry's, and it's crazy. Best concert you ever attended. So is that going to be,
Well, I think that Dolls one
that
was would, the best
yeah, that makes
I
sense.
Saw,
that totally
yeah.
works for me. Now, think about this, Steve. Be a little careful now. There's two people out there. Now, they could be dead or alive. It doesn't matter. That you'd like to sit down and have a cup of tea or a pint with. Now, they have to get along with each other, and they're going to have to get along with you, right? And you're going to want to sit down and have to talk with them for a little while. So two people.
You know, well, me and Arthur Rimbaud would get along like a house on fire. So I'm going to go with Arthur Rimbaud and Edgar Allan. Edgar Poe.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You're drinking tea then, yeah. I guess, eh? Lots of tea?
Well, maybe absinthe, you know, maybe a little stronger, you know, maybe a little opium den somewhere.
It's mid-afternoon kind of.
Left bank, you know. However, listen, Poe never left Baltimore in his life.
Oh.
But, yeah, he studied maps of Paris and London so impeccably that when you read them, you'd swear he must have been there at the least, but he never left Baltimore. Anyway, so I find that interesting. And those are the two. I mean, you know, notwithstanding my dad, but I have it in my mind, I'll be seeing my dad when I leave this mortal coil.
Yep.
And I'll have plenty of time with him then. But yeah, Arthur Rimbaud and...
That's beautiful.
And Poe.
Now be careful. Be careful with this one, because we've had some death threats here at Sev Cellar, and I don't need any more shit up here. But the house lights go down again, Steve. And the stage light. The house lights go down again, and the stage lights come up. And you look over, and there's your ultimate dream band. Now, I already think I know, but your ultimate
what?
Dream band. This is like...
Who's okay, on, wait a minute. The light, on, the lights go out. The curtain comes up,
and
it's my ultimate band on the stage.
There you go. Careful.
Who?
We've had some, you know.
Boy, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you'd be remiss, or I would, mm-hmm. if I didn't say, I don't know, Bowie in the.
What, he's singing?
You're singing, dude.
This is your band, not Bowie's band. Your band.
Oh, my band.
Yeah, baby.
And I'm... Well, I don't quite get the question, then. I don't get it. I mean, the lights.
You're on stage already. You're on stage with your microphone in your hand and your chain in your other hand, and you look over, and who's on the guitar sitting beside you?
Oh, beside me.
Yeah,
oh,
baby.
My God, Steve Koch.
There you go. That's beautiful. Gagno, winner.
Oh.
You got another guitar player? You going to handle some of the lead and some of the rhythm with Steve, or?
Steve is in a league of his own.
Okay, there you go.
He's a very, very modest man. And he always was, you know?
His new stuff is incredible. He's doing this, what's her name? Just incredible music. Okay, who's on bass? Who's on bass there?
I Sam.
There you go.
Scream Sam.
I love it. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's right from the heart, for sure. Okay, drummer? Tony?
Shit, man, Tony,
Yeah.
So drunk, did hell out.
was funny, you know, before I even had the real punk Vile Tones, you know, that way back, I was still putting guys together. I didn't have them all. And he said, he came up to me and said, and he talked like this, he goes, "Do you want me to play the drums for the Vile Tones?" He had a voice not unlike that. And I said, "No, because I would like you, I guess, I haven't heard you, but I've committed to this guy." A year later, he said that was one of the biggest things he liked about me, is that I committed to Motor X and stayed with Motor X.
Okay, well, you're loyal, that's all. You're still loyal.
Yeah, with that, in those circumstances, I was, mm-hmm. Yes.
Steven, can I ask you a question?
I guess so.
What do you still want to do out there? Is there anything on the bucket list?
On the bucket list?
Yeah.
Lordy. Well, I know this about the bucket list. I've got one more big kick at the can, you know? And where that goes, I don't know.
Are you talking that? Are you talking? Or are you planning? Or are you just going to chill a bit and then get it together?
Oh, you know. My feelings are always very deep with four cities, L.A., New York, London, and Paris, you know? Toronto, I'll tell you, you know, it was like when I was hanging out, I don't know if you know this, but I was hanging out with Sebastian Bach back before he was in Skid Row, when he was in Madam X and Kid Wicked, you know, and we were telling, kids would ask us, like, do you have any advice? And we'd say, "Are you from Toronto?" And they go, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I can give you advice in two words. What is it?" "Leave town." "Leave town? What do you mean? We're in Toronto. We came here all the way from whatever city." "You go, that ain't enough.
Yeah.
That ain't enough. You got to get down.
You got to be
down
from somewhere.
New York City.
You got to be from
somewhere."
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a sacrifice. It's a hard life.
Well, it's like a hockey player up here in the bush, Stephen. It's like, I mean, if you're from your own hometown, you're nobody, right? But I mean, you go somewhere else, you become a superstar.
Sure. Sounds like that.
Wayne Gretzky played up here, the Wayner. I don't know if you're a hockey dude, but that's what we eat, live, sleep, shit it up here. You know, it's just sickening. Steve, boxers or briefs, dude?
What's that?
Boxers or briefs?
Oh, I don't
briefs?
Wear underwear.
There you
brother.
Go. There you go. Well, with that being said, then, PJs or naked? You want to let your body breathe at
oh,
night?
Oh, fuck naked.
There
brother.
You go. That's right up. Yep. Now, we had our good friend, you know, Charles Angus from L'Etranger and the Grievous Angels on.
Okay,
and
good.
He moved
okay.
home.
Yeah.
He moved home to his Cobalt, Ontario. I believe he bought some family plot up there, his old family land. And it is an actual designated Bigfoot sighting.
Okay.
So if Stephen, like he was walking, I don't know where you're going to go up into Manitoulin or Algonquin there, and you're walking down the road and you see this thing take one stride across the road. Now you're going to call it a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, a Yeti. In Florida, it had the skunk ape. And we had another friend of ours, Richard Underhill, on. He, being from Vancouver, said Ogopogo. It has nothing to do with it, but I'd let him slide with that because it's Richie. And Charlie, they call it Old Yellowtop because it was a crowning forehead, right? It was balding.
Okay.
What's Stephen Lecky going to call it? Are you just not going to call it Bruce?
Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Sasquatch,
damn.
Bigfoot,
that's
Yeti,
some
skunk
kind
ape?
Of, you know, that's a forest terrorist, you know?
You think?
I guess that's a forest killer, you know, some kind of, better watch that. That sounds like ancient native stuff to me.
It
you
is,
know?
It is. And
that's heavy. That's heavy juju.
Going back to the land, man. Going back to the land.
I'd watch that.
Okay.
Hey, listen, you know, you asked me earlier about my dad and how much I love him, but I got to say I'm very lucky now in my life. I'm blessed. Because of the relationship I have with my sister, you know?
Yeah.
I just needed to say that.
You want
to
give a shout-out? Want to give a shout-out?
What's that?
Want to give a shout-out?
Oh, hey, yeah. Hey, Susie. Yeah. But,
Susie.
But yeah, I love her very much, and she loves me, and, you know, yeah. Anyway, just saying.
No, that's nice. That's a shout-out, for sure.
I had a great family. I sometimes found out too late because of my... I mean, I was really wrapped in alcoholism, you know, and now I got sober. I've been sober. Like all that last bit, right? Saturday and Sunday morning, I was stone cold sober. And
how long has it been now since you haven't had it?
Long time. But all that stuff I did with, you know, Colin Blurton and, you know, Danko Jones drummer and, you know, for all that, I was sober, totally stone cold sober. And it was the same, you know, I could do it the same. But it's something you got to watch on a daily basis. You know, I'm not a preacher about it. I'm not going to say more about it. I'm just telling you what happened with, you know, my walk of life,
yeah.
You know.
Yep, well, I respect you that, know? Too.
Because, you know, I'll tell you, when you're 18, it's one hell of a performance enhancer. You dig? It's a performance enhancer. It's just that you don't know when to stop, you know? But it does help in the very beginning. No, that's what I say.
We can do some reference calls here. We can try and get in touch with Susie. But what's the worst thing Stephen Leckie ever did as a child?
Oh, Christ, you don't want to know about that. I got into being a pretty rough kid, and, you know, I did my time in jail.
Oh, did you?
You know,
okay.
Man. I was in Maplehurst for a good stretch. And a long time in the Don jail, which is worse than, because it's a holding jail, right? So you're in with, you know, killers and, you know, whoever you get as your cellmate, that's the way it goes. So when I finally got to go to Maplehurst, I'm with, you know, guys that are doing under 2 years. So I'd say that, you know, like, I was hardcore. And I told you, I think, you know, it was stupid. I was drunk and I did it because I wanted to know how it would feel to rob a store. Isn't that stupid? However, it took care of that itch of Jesse James that I had in me, you know, but that was the worst thing by far.
Well, we're lucky, you know, we're all still here and we can
realize
that now. What's your perfect day? You wake up, what are you going to do? Put the coffee on or the tea on or what do you got?
But my perfect day?
Yeah, you wake up and...
Oh, yeah, it's got to be... Oh, yeah, man, I'm good. You know, you make the bed, I go in fast motion, you know, move around, wash my hands, face, the whole thing, get that coffee on, and man, nothing beats that first coffee. I have coffee and I, you know, and a few cigarettes. And I'm in Elysium. I'm in paradise, you know? Yeah.
You got anything on in the background, or are you letting your ears breathe until you wake up totally?
What do you mean?
Any music on?
What do you mean by that?
Any music on?
Oh, music playing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually, what am I playing now? Damn it. Oh, I'm getting through some Charlie Feathers. I'm going through some real rough rockabilly.
Yeah, and, yeah, you sent me some of that. That's beautiful stuff. I've forgotten about
that. Yeah, really it is, boy. You get into that, that's your...
That's right. That's right.
That should be... That's a great starting point, depending on the kind of band you want, you know?
Well, you learn, you know?
Yeah, but that's some tough stuff. And, I was living with Hanson Ned for 6 months, and one of the things I found the first night there... Like I did with Mean Steve Piano, right? You know him from Maine,
oh,
I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they knew more or as much about, like, now I don't want to get ahead of myself. Ned would go home and just as easily play Search and Destroy as he would a Bobby Bear song.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing, right? Just how you play it.
What, to Ned, yeah, he got it.
Yeah.
You know, he totally got it. So, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but it's a nice thing to think about, that he wasn't a guy living in the past by any stretch. He just really knew his music.
No, and, I love Ned. He's such a beautiful man, too. You know, just a beautiful, beautiful heart.
Fuck yeah.
And an army brat. And I mean,
the whole nine yards. Yeah,
he,
man.
He played for us at the Alamo. He did a... backed us up when we did our record release at the Alma Combo, and Johnny Bottomley and I pulled up in front, and there was a lineup going down Spadina, right? And Johnny pulled up, we pulled out, he went around the alleyway and threw up, you know, John. Then we come back, they weren't even there to see us, they were all to see Ned, you know, before we went on. It's just hilarious. But a beautiful band. We did the, what was it, the Island? handsome man. Yeah, Adam Hardy,
yeah. Just... You know, hey, there was a question you asked last week, and I want to throw my hat into the ring on what the real meaning of it is. And that you asked Steve Koch, is there any meaning to In Spite of the Danger? Right? Now, I clearly feel that In Spite of the Danger, You Made Me Fall in Love with You, he's talking about smack. It's singing about heroin. But in spite of the danger, you made me fall in love with you. He's not talking about a girl, not at all. Not when you hear the whole body, the whole song. He's talking about heroin. Yeah, that's my feeling. So, you know, I don't know if Steve Koch said, oh, no, it's about this girl or not. And it doesn't matter. However, I was with him then, and he was singing about heroin. And, that's my feeling.
The Beatles doing Gotta Get You Into My Life, right? It was about pot. That's all that was about.
Okay. All right. How the Beatles destroyed rock and roll.
Yeah. I saw that, too. Where do we go when we die, Stephen? Are you seeing...
With what?
Where do we go when we die? You said you're going to see your father later, much like I believe myself.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, my thing is... Well, that's real personal, but, you know...
Well, you
I'm
don't have
that,
to answer. You can leave some things locked up in the cellar if you want, okay? You
know, yeah, let me keep that to myself.
That's totally cool. Respect.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
What does the world need right now? Besides a 16th vaccine or whatever?
Oh, boy. What the world needs right now is...
Cue music here.
Shit. Nah, you just... Boy, man, I...
A big hug.
What the world needs now,
a
shit.
Big hug.
Ah, man, I mean...
Enema?
It's in the state, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, listen, Mike, it's been worse, you know? It was worse that time of the Democratic Convention when the MC5 played and the U.S. was on fire. You know, Detroit was on fire, L.A., the Compton riots. There were riots. Black and white riots everywhere in the States, right?
Yeah.
Big?
Yeah.
Totally okay, now that was way worse. So we've got our situations now, but back then in 1968, it was as if you had a George Floyd episode five times a day. You know what I mean? The cops, yeah, come on.
It's just different now. But
smart
it's
enough, you get it. I know,
it's
look,
the same thing,
you know,
right?
The footage. Just... The cops are letting these, like, German shepherds loose on the blacks, you know, really, and using fire hoses. That's way worse than what we have now. So, you know, I'm tired of, like, right now I've got Jesse Smollett, you know, and I don't care about that, you know. But in any event, we need, yeah.
A big
what
hug.
What are you going to do?
A big hug. The whole world.
Yeah.
Favorite
man.
Color, yeah. Stephen? Favorite color?
Black. Yeah.
Is that Johnny Cash, man? For the common man?
Johnny Cash there and you. The big O.
There you go. There you
Royal.
Go.
Beautiful. Yeah, man.
Favorite movie? You got one? Just
well,
one.
You know, up until forever, I'd immediately say Apocalypse Now,
okay.
Right away.
Really?
And
okay.
Yeah, and there's many times where I do come back to that as my favorite movie. But I tell you, I like a lot of European movies. And
you going film noir or Fellini or?
Well,
Calgary.
Yeah, no. This one is called Pele the Conqueror with Max von Sydow.
Okay, yeah.
Where he's a very old man who is subtitled, very old man, and he ends up following through this, like, sort of never-ending, you know, throughout the movie, snow flurries, his little son, you know, Pele the Conqueror, it's called.
Wow.
Okay. I think that might be. And the Bicycle Thief.
Oh,
the Bicycle Thief.
I have the poster.
Yeah. Oh, God. Beautiful.
That was a bike.
Another
career.
Thing I'm going to take off your wall when I get up there. I'll trade you.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Where were you on November 10th, 1975?
Do you already know?
Well, we can do some calls. Again, I can call your sister. You love your sister, but...
Oh, Christ. November the 10th, 1975?
Yeah, where were you?
75. Oh. Well, that's easy. Shit. November 10th, 1975. Oh, fuck yeah. I tell you where. I was in my apartment. I had my own apartment. My dad worked out of Montreal, so he left me with this apartment. Okay? Now... By then, we moved from the annex where we previously lived, where I hopped the freight train with Brett Blackie.
There's a song there, buddy. There's a song there somewhere.
Well, yeah. but I was playing a badminton racket with the earphones. You know, I was Slade.
Okay.
I was pretending I was the band Slade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing that.
I love Slade.
So, I was practicing.
Naughty Holter. He's still doing it, too, eh? He's still, not the singer. Is that Naughty?
Yeah. Yeah, Dave Hill. Did
yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Well, we have to ask that question up here. So, on November 10th, you're doing Slade, probably live. It's my favorite album. 1975. That was the night we have to ask it up here. I'm not far from where I'm sitting is where the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, just up the coast here.
The what? What opened?
The Edmund Fitzgerald went down.
Oh.
And I was just, okay. We have to ask that question up here. Now, Batman, Superman, Jughead, or you got a famous superhero out there, maybe? Catwoman?
Favorite superhero, damn.
Wonder
Favorite
Woman?
Superhero. That's a real benevolent superhero, you know? Like a real damn.
Oh, I know. I've had a couple here that...
I mean, they've really changed. They've really, you know, they've really changed through cinema. They've really changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the way the superheroes were depicted in comics and Marvel comics,
I'd have no problem saying comparison.
It was Superman.
Okay, that seems to be the winner here at Sebs. I've had a couple of Batmans. Okay. That was, if you weren't a musician, Stephen, what would you be doing? Just something else?
I was a convict.
If you weren't a musician, you'd be a convict? Is that what you're
Yes.
Wow, that's okay. That's very nice.
Fuck yeah.
Music saved your life, I guess, is what you're saying.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I
No, I mean, there was no kidding around with the, you know, the shit that me and Mike Nightmare got up to was, you know, it was criminal activity all the time. But a lot of people, they haven't said the thing with Mike, and they really should, please, you know, sympathy for the devil here, because Mike had had a lot. Maybe Sam will tell you more about it too. But Mike had a series of shots in his head, you know. What do they call that when they put the
electrodes or whatever?
Electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
And it helped him to some point, but he would have been a full stop character. He had a pistol when he was with Sam and Tony. He showed him all the time. Yeah,
I was hanging with him in the market, right? And I was cooking at the Tropical Paradise there across from the park.
Okay.
I was cooking food there for the goose and feeding them and their dogs, right? That was what I was doing. Then I met all those people. Anywho, not about me right now. Violin or fiddle, Lecky? What are you going to call it?
Violin or fiddle? Oh, violin.
Okay, there you go. Very nice.
Strauss.
Very nice. Strauss, no Mahler or anything, yeah. Right? Too violent?
You know, Strauss, just leave it there.
What's the weirdest question you've ever been asked? Or I already look after that so far.
Yeah, you have.
Right on. Thank you so much. That's what I want to hear. That's what I'm talking about.
You did it. Thank you.
Camp or cottage?
Tent or cottage?
Camp or cottage. Now, that's interesting because you're
cottage.
There you are. So you need the water and the heat and the...
Yes.
Okay. Is there one musician out there that you'd like to collaborate with still, dead or alive? Doesn't matter.
Boy, dead or alive, I'll tell, geez, dead. I'd love to collaborate with Roy Orbison.
Oh, wow. I would kill to hear that, too. No pun intended. Yeah. Sorry. One thing you want your friends and your fans to remember you for? Is one thing out there?
I just want them to remember me. Remember me.
Just remember you. Nice and simple. You're like a punk rock Buddhist or what? What's going on there?
Hey, man.
That's what I figure I am now as well. I just...
You are.
I'm a hippy-dippy Buddhist punk funk rocker. That's where I'm at now. If you were a fruit, what would you be? I don't mean like a joy boy or a dandy or something, but if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit?
Oh, fuck. Come on. I don't
Next
know.
Question?
A persimmon?
Oh, nice. That's the first one. Okay. Or a vegetable? What would you be?
Oh, God damn it. A truffle.
Yeah. Organic.
I'm not good on those kind of questions.
No, that's why we ask some silly questions here. People want to know.
Yeah,
right?
What you do.
Some people don't care about. I do. Other people,
it's sweet.
But
it's you.
You got a favorite?
Yeah.
You got a favorite smell? Something out there?
Well, you know, I like vanilla, the smell of vanilla, and I love Chanel No. 5 on
there
a beautiful
you go.
Woman.
On leather, too. Chanel No. 5 on leather. There's nothing in the world like that. I swear to God. You got a best sandwich, Lecky? Eat sandwiches?
No.
No? Nothing? Not even a Montreal?
Nothing.
Okay.
No.
Nice.
None.
Now, you walk by that house of yours there, down at Queen and Drake, and there's one thing that you got to throw out. You just go, fuck, I got to get rid of that now. Is there one thing there, or you're pretty neat and tidy?
Oh, no, man. It looks like a museum in here. It's spectacular. There's not a thing. No, it's spectacular.
I've heard all about it, too. I mean, you and Kingy as
really?
Well. Yeah? Oh, yeah. No,
I've
seen your pictures, Jake.
Very few
I've
have
seen
been
your pictures.
Here, but yeah, no, it's good. I wouldn't throw a thing out.
That's beautiful. What's the scariest animal, Steve? Is there an animal that just,
Scariest animal has got to be a, a really agitated brown bear.
Yeah, okay. Yep, that's the winner up here as well. Flat or sparkling, Stephen?
Oh, boy, forget it.
Okay.
Both.
Both.
It's too tough.
Is it a drink too? Flat or sparkling? Or are you going for wine or are you going for...
One of the best... I don't fuck it. No, I don't know.
Okay,
I'll
take that.
Ensure.
Okay.
Oh. Vanilla Ensure.
I've been there, man. What's the most used app on your phone or your desktop? What are you using the most?
Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Crackbook for me, yeah. Now, yeah. Imagine, yeah, if you will, Mr. Lucky. You're right on a deserted island. There's one song that's going to play 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. What's that one song?
Fuck, man. It better be a really... Oh, boy. It's got to be something like Rachmaninoff.
Okay. Everyone's going classical now. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
I had from Mahler, I would go for Satie, right? I'm just captivated by Satie and the breathing and his timing and his... Beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
but
really
that,
nice.
That would make me go suicidal and I'd jump in the ocean.
Well, this
but
is what that comes with my next question now. Mr. Lucky, if there was one song, imagine if you will, and the songs would be going on for the rest of your day there, you'd have to jump in off the island into the water and get eaten by the crocodiles. What would that song be? I know it's unfair because there's so many, right? But one song that would just make you fucking lose it right there. I'm gone.
Oh,
I'm out of here. Anything on the radio right now, I guess. But
yeah, I can't go there. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to waste your time.
That's fine. I'm privileged to have you on. I really do appreciate this.
Oh,
it's
sweet,
been a gas.
Man, sweet,
I hope
sweet
it's fun.
Talking with you, bro.
I hope it's fun with you. What number am I thinking of right now?
Oh, 7, obviously.
Oh, get out of my head. Seriously?
Yeah.
Because that's not because of my name, though, is it?
No, I don't know. What number were you thinking of?
7. That's where I go.
Really?
That was my hockey jersey and my soccer jersey or my football jersey.
Okay, cool.
And Spooky Ruben says hi. I was chatting with him last night, the Spookmaster.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to give us love and chat with you.
Cool. All right.
Five words you would describe the rest of your life.
This boy ain't finished yet.
Nice. That's beautiful. From Mr. Leckie. You got any plants over there? You must have lots of plants, I imagine.
Actually, I do.
What do you have, man? Plant? What's hanging around there?
Yeah, I've got four left. Gorgeous. Unbelievably beautiful plants. Yep.
Oh. Old ones? They've been around for a while, I guess? And you're...
They have. I take care of them. They're good. They're really, really nice.
I had nice,
the end of that.
Nice plants down there, and I moved up here, and I only have self-exposure, and I can only get like the half days. But I've got a jade in here for my sister that's like 20 years old, and I look after that. But I miss that in the warehouse, right? The big windows.
Yeah, I bet you do. It's okay.
You got any animals, Steve?
No, I'd love to get another beautiful little cat. But that'll happen. That'll happen.
Well, when it's time.
I'm okay
when it's
now.
The right time.
But I'm up. I would love to have a beautiful little baby cat and raise him. Yeah. And I tell you, when I heard Steve Koch last week, just calmly just say that band, when he was part of it all, that was a rock band. And my jaw dropped because, yes, it was a hard rock band played by, with Sam, it sounded like we had Entwistle on bass, and Tony's got the double kit.
Yeah.
So he's not far removed from Keith Moon.
Plus, they
got this beautiful Italian look to them. Koch was deadly. The only guitar player I've ever played with who... His thing was he didn't look at his fretboard hardly ever. He looked out at the audience, but his face was stoic. You know what I mean? He didn't do the guitar face. He didn't do the Elvin Lee face where he's got to crunch it up. He kept it all cool. Everything was happening with his hands. And as a matter of fact, that interview last week was the most I've ever heard Steve Koch talk in my life. When we would practice, it was fairly, this is the way it's going to be. Sam and me would have the lyrics to an idea of a song and just keep playing it out. And there was that formula. There was going to be that on almost every bass line. Each song kind of had that. And no one could top it. And it was all real powerful. And the thing also, this is a period where I addressed my alcoholism with that first version in a big way. See, I started so damn young at 18, I just didn't see it coming. Six beers led to 12 to, 24 in a go. And, a bunch of real bad things are going to happen to you if you're living a lifestyle like that, which happened to me. So, all that stuff on Saturday night, Sunday morning with Steve and Sam and Tony, he'll tell you, I was sober for all of that. And those songs, out of my mind, those lyrics are all about getting sober. But it's tricky. It's tricky. They're kind of Rimbaudian, if you will, But it's all about getting sober. And Last Guy in Town, with the second band, it's just, to me, it's like a virtuoso with what Sam and Tony are doing.
Yeah.
It is really something. I mean, that bar is set so high. I have not heard anything that's comparable. If I had, I would say, there's this band in such and such place. And they're doing something better than Sam and Tony. Well, what they did is unbelievable.
That's what Steve was talking about too, is like the best section he's ever played.
Oh yeah, their syncopation, just quick glances into each other's black eyes. I don't mean from being punched. I mean the color of their eyes and their beautiful, Sam's sweating, looking a lot like Thunders. No one's wearing a shirt. It was hot. And then you got Keep Running, the song Keep Running. And that's just what it is, to keep running, you know, just keep running. Kind of more, it's not more atmospheric, you know. I call it our zombie song, you know. And then you know, we needed to part ways, and hence the third part of my career was me. You know, in that period, I should have, you know, I could have called it the Stephen Leckie Band. It was the same thing. The audience knew that. By then, the audience knew it would be me and whoever I put together. You dig? So, hence, songs like that are looking back. Sam is looking back on him, how much I loved him, and I always will. Same with Koch, and God bless Tony. Oh my God, what a loss in my life when he passed, because we were, you know, really thick as thieves, you know, and nailed again. That's what's going to happen if you're a real player. That's the period where a lot of guys should really make that decision to maybe give a rethink and get out of it. Because it's a killer. It just is.
I had to move back home for that reason, Stephen. You know.
There. You know. Yeah. You are someone who had made that sacrifice.
Mr. Stephen Leckie of the Vileones. Wow, the stories. And who knew Stephen Leckie would get stuck on a train in Sault Ste. Marie? Looking for Oz in Kansas. I'd like to thank Stephen very much for picking up the phone down there in Parkdale, my old hood. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners, for tuning in each and every week. I'd like to thank all the Mike's Lunch viewers for their comments and suggestions. It's greatly appreciated. And I'd like to thank you, yes, you right there on the couch, because we do this for you, and none of this would be possible without you. Sitting there on the couch. Seb Seller is written, directed, and produced by Mike Severin for Seb Seller and The Borderline, and is a Music Care North Productions. Join me next week, or go to The Borderline and click on the podcast series, and you can listen to any of the shows any of the time. Also, I'd like to remind you quick. That if you're cruising in downtown Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada, you can tune in to The Borderline at 107.5. That's where Highway 17 meets the I-75. 107.5 on your FM transceiver. So until next time, folks, let's all try to find a little bit of compassion. Show some kindness. Randomly, even. Peace.
You're listening to Steve Koch. When I want to get inside musicians' heads, I listen to Sev Seller on theborderline.ca, Thursdays at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, listeners. This is Eric Brombacher from Eric and the Sioux. And you're listening to Borderline Radio in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.